and start to my left, I'd like to go ahead, before we call the meeting officially to order, just would everybody just say their name and their affiliation and go around to my left, Mr. Baker.
Dustin Baker, resident of Akron.
Carly Stockberger, also resident.
Rick Stockberger, resident of Firestone Park.
Stuart Blessing, resident of North Hill.
Audrey Kelso, resident of Kansas.
Tim Boley, from the city of Norton.
Major William Mackey, Air Force, retired. I'm a resident of Cuyahoga Falls.
Heather,
I am a federal officer.
Some threat.
Anytime I have a public meeting, I really got to say it. Still, I'm a federal officer.
I am Jess Heather Riddle with MS.
Chris DeBenison with MS.
Curtis Baker with MS.
Nate Brookler with MS.
Okay, thank you very much. At this time, I'd like to call the meeting of May 8th, 2014 to order, and it looks like we certainly have enough of a quorum this evening. Thank you all again for coming. At this time, I'd like you to review the minutes of the March 13th, 2014 meeting and determine if they are accurate as filed or make a motion for any revisions. We'll entertain motions based on the minutes at this time.
Have you read them online? I so move the minutes be approved.
Okay, we have a motion, Mr. Mackey. I'm sorry, second, Ms. Kessler. Thank you very much. Having a motion, any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all is in favor of seconding the minutes. The March 13, 2014 meeting as submitted, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. We'll move on to staff reports. Intern will take the technical progress report and the MS federal funds report with further details from Curtis.
All right. Well, first of all, technical progress report, real quickly. I think the only thing I want to touch on there is that we have our Krista's been working very hard on our Switching Gears Active Transportation Conference. It's going to be on June 26th at the Akron Public Library and John S. Knight Center. It's free registration. We'll include a boxed lunch. We're going to have two pretty prominent speakers. One is Jason Roberts, who is a part of Better Block, Inc., is it?
I think it's just the Better Block.
Just the Better Block. And then also the former mayor of Madison, Dave Cheselnik. So they'll be speaking on active transportation issues. Oh, I guess the other thing that I didn't mention is that today we found out that Akron received, from the League of American Bicycle Cities, received a bronze designation for bicycling. So that was actually due to the hard work of the city of Akron and Phyllis Gibbon and our staff wrote the application. So that's a little nice little feather in the cap, and we're pretty proud of that. So any questions on either of those two things? We can talk about the federal funds report if I can find it. So the federal funds report, basically the big things that are happening right now is that the statewide CMAQ program is going out for applications this spring. We've been encouraging all of our communities to apply. We have been working with communities to establish a region-wide pavement condition rating system. I believe we talked to you guys about this maybe 6 months ago or so. Basically, the idea of kind of like a cooperative buying agreement where everybody could buy to have a certain consultant come out and rate pavements so we'd have good data, because ODOT was going to kill their own data program. Well, now ODOT's told us that actually they are going to continue to do it. And so we've been having a discussion internally and with our members if we want to continue the route of going and paying to have it done ourselves. There's definitely a difference in the quality between what ODOT does and what we would look at a private contractor to do. So I think there's still a lot of interest in still going ahead and doing the pavement analysis via a private contractor in a shared purchase agreement. Yeah.
My first question is... Does ODOT, let's say, cover 20% and AMAT's area would cover the other 80% of all roads? What's the breakdown?
Well, if ODOT did it, we think that we speculate that the plan is for ODOT to do all the roads that are federally functionally classified, but charge MPOs for the ones inside an urbanized area. That's one theory.
So all the roads in theory one would be covered.
Well, wait, what do you mean?
A road to road, whether it's a street through Chicago Falls or I-76, you're saying they're going to cover the roads and tell us what the condition is?
Yes, but the way they do it is like they do it by every, I don't remember what it is, 1,000 feet or 3,000 feet.
Right.
It's not very accurate.
Right.
But yeah, they would probably be willing to do that. Or that's what they said they're going to do. The question is that they might come back and charge us for them doing the data collection in our area.
So I'd like to see a cost on their doing it. And then, of course, what would this private company do with this better machine that would go and cover
right.
all the leftover roads, if there are any? What that would cost all the political bodies here within two counties to have their roads done really well? What was the cost on that? How would we pay it off?
Well, we were going to use STP and local
right.
money
right.
for us to pay for that.
I never saw a dollar figure. I don't remember I saw a dollar.
There was an estimated dollar amount, and I want to say it was like $120,000 to $140,000 every 2 years. But for ODOT, we don't know because they used to just do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have a good, and we're not even sure that they're going to charge us. There's just been some hints that that might happen. So
would we be better off to spend the money and get it done and know where we're at with a baseline?
Personally, I think so. But there's still, you know, it's still a decision that the collective policy committee has to make. And
sure.
I think they're leaning that way as well because the better data would be very useful. But we're just talking through it. That's really all I had on those.
Okay, thank you very much, Chris. The formal agenda not having anything under old business or new business, we will move on to item 6, the resolutions. Our first resolution, 2014-06, adopting the AMATS Coordinated Public Transit and Human Services Transportation Plan. This is attachment 6A in your packets, and Nate is going to fill us in on the details.
Yes, thank you, Mr. In everyone's packet there, attachment 6A is the resolution 2014-06, and for anyone who didn't get a packet there, the report in question, the plan we're looking at, there's some printed copies there too if you wanted to grab one of those. So, basically this resolution is to approve the AMATS Coordinated Public Transit Human Services Transportation Plan. It's the longest name of anything we do, so we just refer to it as the Coordinated Plan generally. This is a plan that's required by the Federal Transit Administration to kind of guide our how we use 5310 funding, it's called, and that's funding that our area receives to build projects to enhance the mobility of senior citizens and individuals with disabilities in the AMATS area. And it's a decent chunk of money, about $500,000 a year comes into the area. So this plan kind of, part of its purpose is to direct this funding. In addition to senior citizens and those with disabilities, this plan also looks at people with low income areas around our region. The purpose of the plan is to determine the needs of these three targeted groups, to evaluate the current services that are out there to meet their needs, to look for gaps in between those two, and then finally to offer recommendations to try to address those gaps. Coordination, it's in the name, it's a very important part of this planning process. It basically makes sure that all the transit agencies, a lot of social service agencies in our counties, plus the Wayne County portion, and other nonprofit transportation providers are on the same page. And working together. And this helps us best leverage all of the transportation assets in the region and avoid redundancies in service whenever we can. We do have an existing coordinated plan in effect that was passed in 2008, and the most recent transportation legislation, MAP 21, necessitated this update. There were a lot of changes. Some of the old funding programs that were outlined in the old one have either been eliminated or folded into other programs, so we needed to reflect the changes that MAP 21 had on these. Also, the types of projects that can be funded or that fall under this you know, universe of projects has been expanded, as are the recipients. It used to be exclusively nonprofits who could receive this 5310 money that kind of gets this plan implemented. Now the transit agencies are eligible, other private operators of transportation, so we had to reflect all of those changes as well. Also, since 2008, I mean, a lot's changed. We've had a census since then and a lot of new information. We just wanted a report that reflected the current situation in our region, particularly some of the maps in there. That was one thing we really wanted to update, where the jobs were, the low-income census tracts, things like that, just kind of get a good picture of everything. And the coordinated plan was a monster. It was 126 pages, a lot of real detailed information. We think this report captures the essence of that and in some ways improves on it quite a bit. And we've reduced it two-thirds in size. The volume isn't so important as the fact that we hope this one's more readable and makes a nice quick reference for people who want to apply for projects that are, you know, kind of contained within this plan. And finally, the old one was a bit ambiguous at times when it came down to the recommendations that were proposed within. This one, we really tried to set a regional priority. Any of the recommendations are possible, but we definitely have kind of, you know, ways that we think funding related to this could be better spent than others, and wanted to reflect those priorities in the plan. So we hope that it sufficiently did that. Outreach is very, very important to this planning process. And it's a really neat situation that we get to kind of break out of the universe of people that we generally work with, transit agencies, the municipalities and things. This is one we get to talk with a lot of employers, social service agencies, a lot of real interesting organizations that we just unfortunately don't get to interact with a whole lot, and we really went out to learn their needs and just kind of build a rapport with a lot of them. So that's been really interesting. Let's see here. So there was a lot of outreach involved in this, about a 7-month planning process since the starting period to today, when the public comment period will officially be closing. More to be said about that in a minute, though. So in addition to lots of meetings, we sent out surveys, and we, you know, advertised the fact that this was out there to be looked at and commented on by the public. We've got a poster. I still saw it out there in the library, in every library around Summit County. It was in the Beacon Journal and a lot of different places, so we really hope to get it out there and noticed by a lot of people. We spoke with over 40 social services agencies around the area and got their input into the plan and their needs and their clients' needs and everything. We got some direct input from citizens. Mr. Mackey was instrumental in that, and a lot of, through our meetings, met with some other people and got some great input. We, at our last CIC meeting back in March, is when we opened the public comment period, and kind of ending it today. Just that, you know, there's room for input in the future, especially how we implement everything. But it's been about 2 months, so we hope that's been adequate time for everyone to kind of give their input and everything. So I think we have reflected everything. One really cool thing about this is we do a lot of work with Summit County, Portage County. We work a lot with the agencies in there. We don't hear as much from the Wayne County portion of our MS area, which includes Rittman and Doylestown primarily and their surrounding townships. One really cool thing is they're very interested in this. They currently don't even have a transit system. Worcester itself has one, but it doesn't extend into our area. So there are a lot of senior citizens and those with disabilities up there that are kind of hard-pressed for any kind of transportation to meet their medical needs and job needs and things like that. So they we met with them several times, and they're planning on replicating this process in their own county. And hopefully we can get some interaction between those two areas. But even if just Worcester Transit itself serves that part of the county, maybe Metro, maybe it may work, it may not, but just the fact that they will be probably getting some new transportation options because of this type of planning process is definitely a positive for people, you know, in our region, and that's great. And then we worked a lot with Metro and PARTA throughout this whole process. When it comes to implementing some of the recommendations in here, they're key players, as to helping us decide, you know, where's what projects we should select, and for some of the nonprofit agencies that get the buses, there's a lot of certifications they have to do and titles they have to keep, and some of them aren't necessarily structured to do that, as well as Metro is, so they really help them a lot with a lot of the administrative stuff. So they had a lot of input in the plan and really helped us, I think, fine-tune it. So basically, we received a lot of comments over the six-month period. Every single one has been incorporated in the plan, either directly or in spirit. Some of them may have been for a big regional plan. Some of the, you know, we want flexibility so that it can kind of cover a lot of things. Some of them were like real specific, and they fell under one of the recommendations, so you wouldn't find it in there line by line. But we think everything's been reflected in spirit or directly. It's been a great process. It's one of the most interesting plans that I've had the opportunity to work on at AMS, and I think we've built a rapport with a lot of agencies that we don't deal with a whole lot, especially down in Wayne County, which has been really cool. And this plan, it's just the starting point is the critical thing. As I was talking about, today ends the public comment period officially, but we will eventually be getting this funding and selecting projects for the region that are kind of based on this plan, and that's another area where we'll be working with everyone to try to get input, and you know, needs are always changing, and situations are always changing, to kind of keep this fluid and always, you know, working with these people to get the, just to get some great projects and to, you know, benefit the low-income people, disabled people, and senior citizens in our area. We'd really like to see some fruit spring from this, and we think that it will. So with all that being said, the staff recommends approval of the plan, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that anyone may have about it.
Nate, this plan is implemented at this time. How many years does it carry us?
Well, there is one. They have some general things that have to be in the plan. They're set in stone by the FTA. But one thing that's really cool about it is they just refer to it as a locally adopted coordinated plan. They're not overbearing with what's supposed to be in the plan. They're not overbearing with timelines or anything like that. They suggest that we update it every time we do a new long-term transportation plan, every 4 years or so. It's been longer than that the last time. And they're kind of general in a way that they are relevant for long periods of time, kind of. But theoretically, that's how often we'd like to do it, is about, you know, when we update our long-term transportation plans. But they're kind of hands-off on the whole process, and that's what's really neat, is they're very customizable. If you go out and look, many places have coordinated plans, and there's a lot of variety in them, so you can really kind of, you know, they're not formulaic at all, really. You can kind of reflect your own, you know, situation and everything. Some are more picture-based, some are very legalese and not as interesting reading. We tried to kind of find a, you know, to be, offer a lot of specifics and kind of make it semi-enjoyable to read, hopefully. It's as enjoyable as any plan is, so, yeah.
Well, it's an important enough topic. We handle these resolutions in different ways at different times, but I'd like to see the membership consider this as a separate item and send a clear message to the policy committee that we feel it's important enough that it have a specific vote and a message from the membership that these are kinds of things we'd like to see happening. Especially, I deal with a lot of senior citizens, disabled people, low income. The need is there for attention to this issue. So at this time, we invite your examination again of the document for a brief period and any motions on Resolution 2014-06.
I'd like to move to the Resolution 2014-06.
Okay, so Ms. Kessler is making a motion to accept it.
One second.
Okay. Mr. Baker, any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of accepting Resolution 2014-06, adopting the MS Coordinated Public Transit Human Services Transportation Plan. Please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. Okay, thank you, Nate.
Thank you.
We also have a series of additional resolutions. I'll read them off as well as a brief caption for your consideration. Resolution 2014-07, approving Amendment 13 to the Transportation Employment Program, fiscal year 2014-17, to add OT PPP funds in fiscal year 2014 for Metro RTA. Resolution 2014-08, approving the fiscal year 2015 Transportation Planning Work Program and Budget. Resolution 2014-09, reaffirming the approval of the Regional Transportation Plan and the Transportation Improvement Program, and affirming the consistency between the Regional Transportation Plan, the Transportation Improvement Program, and the State Implementation Plan. Again, further, Resolution 2014-10, certification of the government transportation planning process, and Resolution 2014-11, affirming Amendment 14 to the Transportation Improvement Program fiscal year 2014-17, to add a new project, cancel a project, and revise the funding or schedule to five existing projects. Again, if you would, review material at hand, and we will entertain motions either individually or collectively as you see fit.
Could you explain 6D, number 3?
Yeah, we are required every year, according to federal regulations, to do a couple of resolutions, and this is one of them. And basically what the feds want us to do is at the end of every fiscal year, which our fiscal year ends at the end of June, they want us to make sure, and by making sure, pass a resolution that says all the documents that we've done, you know, if we've done any amendments to them, if we've made any changes, like we want to make sure that everything stays consistent. So if there's amendments to the TIP, they match the plan. If there are amendments to the plan, it, you know, was taken into account with the air quality state implementation plan. So it's just, it's kind of like a check the box, make sure everything, you know, that you've changed this year is reflected in all of those documents. And so the resolution is just saying, yes, we've looked at it, yes, all those reflections are consistent, yes, it's approved.
And more specifically, what is SIP?
State Implementation Plan is the air quality state implementation plan for CMAQ area, congestion mitigation air quality, or non-attainment areas, Southern Portage County, you know, seven counties, eight counties, yeah. I'm surprised you didn't know that, Joel.
I just didn't
recognize that. You can go on the web and look at their big long list of acronyms, and after a while it makes sense.
Can you look at that?
Of course. It's a government document.
Could you look at the acronyms?
Yes, all the way through. Nate knows how to look at all the documents. Mr. Chair, I would move that we combine these resolutions into one and do a vote need a second.
Okay.
I'll second.
Discussion?
Yeah, I think Mr. Kelvin has something to say.
Yeah, I do. Well, a question, actually. On 08, bottom of the page.
Oh, okay.
What does that mean, finalize? As you know, I have some problems with NEOS and what they're doing.
So all of that
is
actually
something finalized. I want to know what is it. Does that mean you adopted it?
All it means is that we're finalizing our participation, as in we're wrapping up the effort. So we never actually did a resolution for the board. We're not planning on doing it. It's more of a, we've had it in our work program for the last 3 years, and now we wanted to say there might be some, you know, there might be some last tie-ups, but it's ended.
So you're not going to do what NOACA did?
In terms of passing, did they pass a resolution? Yeah. We there was no interest at the board level to do that. There was no interest, I think, even at the staff level to do that. It's a very, you know, the document itself is very, it doesn't need to be, I mean, at least from our standpoint, it wasn't a big thing. Before I get myself in trouble.
Well,
we're not approving
it. I just want to understand what that meant.
Yeah. It was just, it's just acknowledging that we're wrapping up the work.
Okay.
We had a motion from Mr. Mackey. I didn't hear a second yet.
Dustin.
Mr. Baker. All right. We have a motion on the floor and a second to combine the votes on resolution 2014-07, 2014-08, 2014-09, 2014-10. 2014-11. Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all is in favor providing the approval of these resolutions. All mentioned, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion's carried collectively.
Now, Mr. Chair, that we've combined them, I move that we vote to approve all the resolutions.
All right. We have a motion. Mr. Mackey to approve resolutions 2014-07, 2014-08, 2014-09, 2014-10, 2014-11 for approval as submitted. Do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Kessler provides the second. Any discussion on the motion to approve these resolutions collectively? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving them collectively, as aforementioned, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motions are collectively approved.
Can I interject something?
Mr. Helms?
On the very last one here. E. Is the CMAC familiar with the latter sewer work in the next 3 years on Manchester Road?
I'm sure. I don't know much about that
project. With that sewer work?
I would assume so. My guess is, though, well, let's see what the, because it's proven, it's amendment. Which one is the Manchester Road one? Is that an ad or is that a
revised funding?
And that's just pavement.
Yeah, that'll just be on the pavement in 25th. That would be, I would assume that it's in concert with, but I can find out for you.
ODOT is right there.
Right.
Some County Environmental Services is just applying for all of the state funds themselves, so it's not a guaranteed project.
Right.
I just see possible conflict.
Right.
Just an alert.
Yeah, no, that's good. I will find out more.
And in Twinsburg, they did that. They laid down brand new pavement some years ago. And then within a year, the sewer department was back, and every 10 feet, they cut out sections of the pavement, brand new, to go down, patch all the pipes, and then lay it over again for the next 4 or 5 years. It would go all the way up 90. But yeah, it's good if they would, whoever, since we're into the, we're saying we're going to approve the resolution to get the money to them. It'd be nice to make sure they'll create more problems down the road, bad funds, mm-hmm. to
to fix something after the road's been put in.
It appears by the description a lot of the work has to do with four bridges, but does include a resurfacing as well. So the resurfacing might be the bigger issue. I'm sure the work on the bridges is probably less so. But
what's the limits of the resurfacing?
New Franklin, Coventry Township, 93, from Stark County line to 0.18 miles south of State Street. Bridge over Tusk River to Akron South Corp line, State Route 619 from Barbon South Corp line to State Route 93.
Pretty much everything that wasn't just redone this year.
My concerns would be with the new Coventry High School going in. That's a little north of there.
Mm-hmm.
That might tear up some of the pavement.
Yeah.
That's right there on Bridge Lakes off of 93.
My comment wasn't detrimental to the...
No, we'll follow up and make sure that that's not an issue. Usually things are done in concert, but not always, so...
So we'll get a report back at the next meeting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, having no other business under agenda item 6, and we'll move on to number 7. This brings up an item which hasn't been touched upon in a number of years at the CIC, but the allocation of time here at the library recently needed to be changed due to library operating hours, and I received a call from Curtis about the need to really look at that issue, as well as still giving adequate time for the members and guests to make their presentations and comments. So at this point, I'll just open it up to Curtis, and perhaps some of you will have other comments on this subject as well. So Curtis, take it away.
Yeah, so one of the things we've been talking about with CIC, I think over the years, we've had some discussions about everything from trying to bring new people in, to membership, to appointments, to how many people does it take to have a quorum, etc. And we were starting to go through the CIC bylaws recently, and not only are there some things that just from a pragmatic purpose we're not even doing anymore, like we don't even mail CICs anymore, and then the bylaws say, you know, we will mail every week, you know, 1 week before, all that. So there's some minute changes that need to take place, but we also think it'd be a great opportunity to look at making some more wholesale changes to the bylaws. And I think one of the things, especially for those of you who are here that haven't been here before, you know, some of our concerns are just for people that have never been before, it's a little bit it's a little bit confusing. It's not necessarily like a traditional public meeting where you come in, sit down, and have one person just talk to you. There's some things that we think we could kind of improve upon to maybe improve the environment a little bit. And then, as Mike pointed out, then also about how to kind of have discussions and allow people to come in and say what they need to say, but also say it in a way where, hey, you get 5 minutes, or you get, you know, a certain amount of time. If you want to talk more than that, well, maybe, you know, you can write it down, you can email staff, etc. But a way, and I think this is actually a pretty rare example, Mike, we're like at the end of the agenda in a half hour, so it's actually untraditional in that sense today. But I think looking at things like that, and then also looking at ideas like, you know, should there be a member of CIC that's appointed as a non-voting member to the policy committee? You know, should there be someone that's on the board that can at least provide the insight from the CIC? And then you get even in deeper things. There's actually no acknowledgement of the staff of the CIC in the bylaws. Like, there's not really any acknowledgement that the AMAT staff is supposed to do that much, or, you know, in terms of how the meetings are run. And I think we want to make our job a little bit clearer, too, within those bylaws. So, you know, what I was thinking, what I had proposed to Mike, was maybe putting together a subcommittee of the CIC, or appointing a few people where maybe we could meet at a Panera or get lunch sometime and just start to, I don't want to, you know, do it at a full CIC, but start to hack out some of the things that we like, that we don't like, and then, you know, bring that back to this committee in I believe it's July is our next meeting, and start to have a discussion about changes, updates we want to make. The last update was made in 2001, and that my understanding is that update was very much a technical wording update. I don't think it was very substantial. So we're really looking at bylaws that have been around since 1968 that we'd like to update. And I think it'd be great if we could, you know, appoint sort of a group of maybe some of the, you know, the people that have been committed and coming for a long time, and some people that maybe haven't been here as long but are kind of, you know, at least getting interested in the process, et cetera. So that's my thought. I'd love to hear just general impressions, as well as, if possible, I'd love for there to be, you know, some sort of working group subcommittee appointed that we could then, you know, share contact information and sit down and go through this thing. So, you know, you have any comments, Mr. Mackey?
I envision on your whiteboard new CIC bylaws with a box on the end. And I'm going to go backwards, meeting 4, 3, 2, and then 1. If we can't do it in 4 meetings, we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So that would be a timetable to get it done and hit your mission. Forgive me that we're newcomers, too many years in the military. It's a mission, you've got a goal or objective.
I served 7 years, so I know.
All right. Excellent.
And that's, I think, our goal would be is that for the start of the next fiscal year, you know, for the start of the next calendar year, we'd be able to adopt new bylaws. So I think that would be the goal. And I think taking the right amount of time, like, you know, and, I mean, even the bylaws say that we're only supposed to meet 4 times, you know, and it's not necessarily connected to our meetings with policy and TAC. Do we want to keep doing it the way we're doing it? Do we want to do it the way the bylaws say, or do we want to change it or make it? Do we want it to be, you know, the same week as CI or as policy? I just think there are a whole lot of issues that we could talk about and consider, just kind of to make some changes, I think, for the better. I think the idea would be, you know, we'd really kind of get into the nuts and bolts in July after a smaller group looks at it. And then if we need to revise, we have a meeting in then August and potentially through December.
Where are these sustainable bylaws? I've never.
You know what? I wonder. I actually am not sure if they're even on our website.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I don't remember seeing it.
Yeah.
If I did, I never clicked on it for anything.
Yeah. We might not even have them on our webpage, but we can email it out tomorrow. It's probably be pretty interesting for everybody to look at and just see them.
Yeah, if you can find them, email us.
Yeah, but they definitely have a lot of the 1968 language that, you know, we think could use a little refreshing. And I think there's a lot that we could discuss that we've talked about in the past about membership and how that really works. And it does it. I mean, I don't know if anyone here was originally an appointee of a mayor or a city manager. Were you? So we have
county commissioner.
So, you know, that how effective is that? Is there a better way that we could kind of pull people out, you know, versus just making sure we get members of the public to attend and to participate, things like that? So I think everything could be potentially on the table to discuss and, you know. I think it'll be fun.
I'm all for eating that on tap or garbage or something.
Well, this is something that we usually, at this part of the meeting anyway, go around the table and just find out what somebody may have in the way of a comment. I'd like to start with Mr. Baker and just go around and just, what do you think? What do you think we should focus on?
I would like to see the current bylaws first before I can even make comment.
It's telling that you don't know that we have bylaws.
I didn't know that at all.
And you've been here since when?
2008.
So, yeah. So, for the last 6 years?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been in this. Well, my husband's been here before, but this is my first time. And he gets interested in these things and kind of drives me into it, too. And, I mean, for you guys to talk about, like, bringing more people in. I don't really know how this all works, so But bringing more people in that are actually from the communities and getting their input is really a good idea. I mean, I'm interested in it, but I know what you kind of mean by where it's confusing a little. I don't really know what's going on.
Yeah, this is my second meeting, and you know, I was definitely interested enough to come back, but I see like a lot of barriers to civic involvement here. You know, and there's good things and bad things for that, 100%. I think it's something that we need to look at as to get more people involved. I was a founder of an organization called Saving Cities in Cleveland a couple years ago, and we did a decent job of getting citizen involvement in urban revitalization and that type of stuff. So you know, that's kind of where I come from and my thoughts on how to be here and help where I can.
First time pass.
May I ask, what interested you to come to the meeting?
What
brought you?
My good friend here, Richard Stockberger, informed me of it, and I'm interested in the transportation and how kind of like the outlying areas interact with the city. So
I didn't know we had bylaws either. I've been on since 1999. So I didn't know either. Because when I saw that on the agenda, I said,
yeah, we're creating bylaws.
I think it's a great idea to revise them, mm-hmm. especially if they're that old, and they need to reflect what we're doing now mm-hmm. and sort of modernize them. Because mm-hmm. otherwise, they're really useless.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the second meeting I was here, I looked them up and read them, but I realized that they were not relevant, so it's kind of something to forget about. Mm-hmm. That was a long time ago, too, so I don't know how long I've been coming. Of course, I've been making for a year here, but sorry about that.
Now, I haven't seen the bylaws here. I'd like to see them as well. I mean, the concerns, man, look back at the last meeting and see there were six communities represented. That to me is a concern. Mm-hmm. We find a way to reach out to other communities to try to get them to have some participation.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how they want to do that, but I think that would be essential.
Yeah, and I think that was originally when they developed the bylaws was this idea that every mayor was going to appoint a citizen that would come to this committee, and over time that just one, didn't happen, and two, the people that were appointed didn't come. You know, so I think maybe looking at a different way maybe to attract people to come from a different from other communities is a would be a good mm-hmm. good byproduct of this.
You want me to pass?
No, I was a member here. I guess I am now again, but I was a citizen member. It's been a couple of years since I've been here, and I think it's interesting that we're still having the same discussion we had 2 years ago, which is I'll just be blunt. It's sort of like, what do you want to do? You know, what do you want to do with the organization? When I've been in policy committee meetings, I never hear them ask about what the citizen involvement part was. So when people ask me what this is, what this group is, I say, well, it fulfills a federal requirement that there's been to have citizens' input. But it's almost like you're the kids' table over here, and then that way they don't have to deal with you at the policy committee meeting. They don't have to. They don't take a lot of comments. They give you, 3 minutes or something like that?
5, yeah.
It's a pretty narrow window, and it's done in the daytime. So it's difficult for anybody to go from the public to go and tell them anything. So this is sort of your outlet for that. But the real question I think should come when you're going to these bylaws is to ask the policy committees, what do you want from the citizens committee? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where you really ought to flow from. Mm-hmm. That's the first step, is to say, well, you've got this group here. Is it just fulfilling a requirement? If that's the case, then I guess we're sort of like a club and we can discuss whatever we like. And we'll pass the official agenda items on here and then we'll work on projects. I mean, we were talking about bicycle projects mm-hmm. and other stuff mm-hmm. years ago, which sort of developed into other things since then. But so I guess we really have to decide what's the result of everything we're going to do mm-hmm. from the policy committee standpoint. Because they're the only ones that actually pass anything.
Right.
I get the impression that they look at the technical committee's recommendations, which is just one part of it. I mean, there's a technical group of the engineers, then there's us, and then the policy committee, which is made up of the mayors and city managers, the people they appoint that actually vote. So I'm here because the mayor's, I'm on city council now, and the mayor said, oh, you can be our person. And I said, you know, I've got, but the reason I haven't been here is I usually have other meetings, so where I have like three meetings that week, and so this is going to be the fourth, so I don't do it. And I said, I'd rather find a citizen who really wants to get involved with stuff, but, you know, only can vote like four times a year, three times a year, as often as you do the meetings. That's what I'd rather have, is that person do it instead of me. And that way they can decide if they like to do civic things, and, you know, whatever. And we used to do, for a while, when you asked about the communities, we moved them around for a little bit.
Tried different locations.
We tried different locations, and we got some different faces, and we did it at the Transit Center, and did it in Kent, and different places like that. But it really comes down to what the policy committee wants. Because this is a unique thing, and in Cleveland they don't have this in NOACA. They don't have a citizens committee, they do it a different way. And one of the things I was doing 5 years ago is I looked at what they did in Maryland and some other places to say, you know, what do their citizens committee look like? The one in Baltimore is much, much more robust. They have a lot more input. So, I mean, that's another thing, to look around at the MPOs and see what they're doing in other places and say, yeah, I like that idea, I want to just Google MPOs and you'll see metropolitan planning organizations. You'll see them come up from all over the country, and then just start looking at their websites, and you'll see some of them have more stuff than others. Mm-hmm. Some like NOACA don't have anything at all. But they do have, the difference in NOACA is they have a subcommittees of people that just do biking. And
not more advocacy-based committees.
They don't have general things like this. So. Anyway. But I, you know, to the extent I can participate in governing your other things, I'd be happy to throw in.
Pass.
I don't think they're asking my opinion. Are you asking my opinion? Pass. No, I mean, I think offhand it would be, I think it would be interesting to find a mix of doing the, you know, the art, everything we typically do with the AMATS agenda, but also bring up like different issues, whether it is, you know, speakers or tours or different locations, but kind of, you know, look at different topics that, you know, whether we just want to discuss or address or look at.
Because yeah, I do think one of the problems is like amending the 2014 to 2017 fiscal year transportation improvement program is just, it's not a sexy tagline. You know, I mean, it's, you know, to convince someone to come out on a beautiful day to go through that is not as appealing to as maybe some, you know, obviously if they're putting a Walmart in your backyard, then, you know, we get 150 people. Not saying that we should just put Walmarts in people's backyards to get them here, but I think, you know, trying to have that good balance of making sure that citizens have the ability to comment on the actual policy committee work that's being, you know, the actual resolutions, but also providing the ability to have the conversations that are more, you know, what's going on in freight rail, what's going on, you know, in Metro RTA, you know, how are we dealing with this land use challenge, et cetera. Excuse me. So I think that, you know, finding a way to do that, and really, you know, the one thing that's interesting about the bylaws as well is that policy committee has like no ability to influence them. It is purely the people that are on the CIC make the changes to the bylaws. Now, if we were going to put somebody on the policy committee, obviously the bylaws of the policy committee would have to be adopted to reflect that change. But really, you know, there is a point where it's about us trying to create the most effective meeting possible, but I agree with you that, you know, trying to figure out from the policy committee what is the what kind of things do they really want feedback on too is just as important. Although sometimes it's, you know, the things they don't want feedback on are the things that you most need to get feedback on. So I think in a way that's probably why the two groups have been kind of kept separate, is to allow for that, you know, unbiased opinion from citizens.
Just down. I don't even know how related it is. Just a comment that occurred to me. I just wanted to thank the new people for coming in the first time. Yeah, that's amazing, you know, on a nice day like this. And it'd be great to have fresh blood here and see new faces and everything. And as a guy who's fairly new to planning, but I attended meetings as a hobby, in the previous life. I'll fully admit some agendas are more exciting than others. I would give this one a C, maybe. I don't know. But there are some really fun things here. Yeah, this one's, yeah, to each his own. But yeah, there's some really cool things. So check out the agendas. And it'd be great to see everybody come back because we do discuss some pretty cool things in here.
You were the highlight, Nate, that said.
I also look forward to discovering this earth in the pot back at the office with the bylaws and opening the scroll, interpreting the into modern language.
May I ask the newcomers, how did you know to come here?
Yeah.
I met Jason Segley before. I spoke on a panel with him.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of... where I got involved with AMATS.
Jason's always selling CIC.
Yeah.
You know,
so I just said I wanted to get involved, and he's like, here you go.
Mr. Chairman, I mean, you know, could we look to maybe appoint a group of volunteers to maybe that would be willing to sit down and, you know, discuss some changes that we could bring back to the next meeting?
Well, I think it's... a good way to start, maybe combining some of the folks that have been here for a length of time, along with some new faces, and I'll volunteer to participate. I am working extensively on a nonprofit program right now up in Portage County. But I'm going to be done mid-afternoon, so given that scenario, I can.
Yeah, we can work around. We can work around schedules as well.
So, whether you want to voice something now or go home and think about it, what were your thoughts on
timing? I was thinking probably. Early June, maybe before vacation season picks up for people, would be best, you know, like 3 to 4 weeks from now.
Well, sign me up.
Okay.
Weekends or weekdays?
Probably better to do weekdays, but we could do evening weekdays if that makes it easier for people.
It's
after
6, I get involved.
Okay. Rick, would you be interested since Jason pulled you into
it? Yeah.
Well. anybody else is welcome to join, but I think if we've got kind of two old guard and two newer guard, might be good smaller group to work with. Does that sound?
I'd like to be emailed.
Yeah, okay,
we'll tweet you.
I won't tweet.
Yeah. Well, that's what we can send the email out to everybody, let you guys know the times, and if you can make it, you know, we'll schedule it around, you know, these four schedules, but if you can make it, you know, feel free, let us know, and we'll definitely try to work it in. So,
you, if you meet the first time, could you, like, tell us what you did?
Oh, yeah, post minutes. Yeah.
Well, not, it doesn't have to be minutes if you don't want to get that formal.
Yeah.
So that if somebody wants to jump in a later meeting,
could
make the first one, at least they won't feel like, oh, you know,
right.
I don't understand what you're
right.
doing anymore.
And I mean, my hope is, now if we spend, like, 6 hours on it the first time, well, at that point, we decide we want to have a second. My hope is we could sit down and kind of get the gist, and then come back to this committee the next month. But if we do have to have two meetings, I'll send an email, and you know, we can make that happen. So
are you hoping to hammer out the things in a single meeting, or
no? What I was hoping was to get the base ideas that then we would start to hammer out at the CIC meetings. More, you know, like kind of get the big principles, okay, we want to remove this, or we want to add something about this, and then bring it back here and kind of say, well, what's that really going to look like? And then the staff would kind of take it back and we'd start to do, you know, actually do the work to revise the language, stuff like that.
I mean, you've got what your purpose is and then what your membership is. And the mechanical kind of things.
Yeah.
You have the big esoteric kinds of things, like what you're here for.
Right. That's all we have. Except for the draft is going to be 35 minutes from now. So if we want to end.
First, I thought you were going to have a big screen here. That's what I came. I thought that was part of the deal.
No, see, Mike and I were talking before the meeting. We just had to get done by 7:30 so I can see the Browns take Johnny Football.
Yeah.
Right? What time do you have to be out of here?
It closes at 8. They start making the announcements at like 7:45. Give us the countdown, and we definitely try to get out of here, I'd say, at least 10 before, just because we don't want to be rude.
How long have you been meeting here? Because I know there was another
one. Yeah, we were at the Howe House for a year, and I think you missed probably most of that year. And then they were getting really stingy about hours and stuff, and so we moved here. And then after we started moving here, then they changed the hours. It used to be open until 9. And they cut the hours till 8, and we just kind of shifted CIC.
Why don't you do it at Edmonton? If you're here, why don't you just do it at your place?
Well, the building gets locked up. Certain doors get locked after 5 p.m. Because actually our conference room would be great,
right.
But we've talked about the concern about you can only enter in from the basement level at this time, you know, after 5:30. You know, it just gets a little tricky.
And the guards are really itchy.
Yeah, they're not, because, I mean, you know, the gym's open until about 6 or 6:30, but, you know, we start, at the time we were starting at 7, all the doors would have been locked, and then we'd be, you know, and then if somebody couldn't get in, you know, it's just...
Well, I'm feeling a vibe here, Curtis, so, and the only thing I see left is the item 8 adjournment. So, our next regular meeting is Thursday, July 17th, 2014. 6:30 p.m. Location to be determined, but we just felt the feeling we'll be right back here. And thanks again to all of you for coming tonight. And I'm excited about this review of the bylaws. The hammering sound you may start hearing later on tonight will probably be Nate tearing up the floors,
chiseling out that.
We'll see what happens with that.
Yeah.
But again. Our next meeting is July 17th, and we'll entertain motions for adjournment. We have an adjournment motion for Mr. Mackey.
Second.
Second for Ms. Kessler. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all is in favor of adjournment at this time. Please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye.